This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No, bells won't be ringing.
Welcome back.
Who really cares?
Hollywood Casino Press Box, broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's in downtown St. Louis. Say hi to Alicia. She's behind the bar today. She's one of the best in the business. We appreciate her being a part of the program. Parade is Saturday, open at 9 a.m. St. Patrick's Day is Sunday. Shuttles to events at Bush and Enterprise. Off-site catering available. Buffet, box lunches, etc. 40th anniversary year, food and drink specials, monthly giveaways. We are thrilled to be here. Let's see. I think Mr. Ramsey's going to join us in a couple of minutes. Billikens have a big one tonight at Brooklyn against Dayton. Brian, you were watching the Blues last night.
Ooh.
That was just rough,
Oof.
Wasn't it?
That was ugly.
Just like you don't have any confidence that anybody's going to score a goal unless it's Shen and O'Reilly, and they don't score unless Tarasenko's there.
And it was such a bad opponent. To drop that egg again.
Worst team in hockey.
Yes, and then doesn't necessarily inspire confidence for the rest of the road trip, especially going into Pittsburgh later this weekend. It's just an ugly game.
Yeah, they need a jolt, and maybe it's David Perron returning, who certainly was one of their best players before he got injured.
And then compounded with Dallas winning last night, so now...
Yeah, now you're tied. Actually, they had the tiebreaker.
Yes. And you're no games in hand with Dallas as well, so that's just, boy, that hurts.
How close, let's see, would Arizona be?
Well, Arizona has the other wild card in the Pacific. Right now they're 5 points ahead of Minnesota. So the Blues still, from a point standpoint, are in very good shape for the postseason. It's just from an opponent standpoint, now you're facing Winnipeg in round one. You have not played well against it all this year, as opposed to Nashville, a team that you've had success against.
Brian, we had our fantasy baseball league draft last night.
Too early.
And I was excited because they draw names out of a hat, and I got the first pick in the draft. And you know who I selected?
Mike Trout?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
You weren't going to be the homer and pick Paul Goldschmidt?
No. I want to get your analysis of this team a little bit later, but let's head to Brooklyn right now and check in with the voice of the Billikens, Bob Ramsey. And I got to tell you, I regret not listening to Bob last night and watching the game because, Bob, I imagine you were really passionate, especially in that first half when they only called one foul on Richmond. What do you think, Bob?
I think it was a crew. I'm gonna, we can have a lot of fun with it, but let's cut to it. Talk to some folks after. Talk to some league people. Talk to Travis. And my opinion is, it was a crew that was very experienced and subliminally maybe thought that they deserved a better assignment than, early round of the Atlantic 10 tournament. And I think the game got away from them. And I don't care what level of game it is, once the game gets out of control of the officials, they have a very difficult time getting it back. They, without question or equivocation, really hammered the Billikens in the first half, and then late in the game tried to even it out, and so ultimately hammered Richmond at the end of the game. And neither is fair. And it was really an officiating abomination. And I promise you, the Richmond people feel the same way.
Wow, I did not know. That's some good reporting after talking with some people, doing some research. That is fascinating. Gosh, wow.
On the other hand, it's more fun just screaming it's the worst call I ever saw. So,
and how many times do you think you uttered that phrase last night?
Just once. I try to keep it at once a game.
All right. Much to discuss about the game. And, Bob, I think that thing was just symbolic of Billiken basketball this season is, hey, throw it on the backboard and we're going to go get the miss and put it back in. 37 total rebounds last night. And on the offensive glass, they were just monsters.
Yeah, I think I mentioned yesterday, Jordan Goodwin is the number one offensive rebounding guard in the country. And he showed he showed an example of that again last night. In the first half, the Richmond zone kind of lulled the Billikens out of what they needed to do. And in addition, because of foul trouble, French didn't play. And we're learning now offensively and defensively whether he's touching the ball or not. He makes a difference when he's in the game. But when you look at the second half, he played the entire second half, and the Billikens had a 21, I think it was a 21 rebound edge in the half. So, that backs up what you're saying, and that's what they had to do. Associate head coach Van Maken told us after the game, he used the phrase bully ball. If you're on the receiving end of that, you think it's ugly. You think it's not good basketball. And maybe aesthetically we can all agree, but
yes,
you are what you are, and you got to do what you got to do to win.
Yeah, and I love the Jordan Goodwin line where he had 7 offensive rebounds. And he may be a point guard in a sense. I know he's kind of a combo, but there won't be a guard for the rest of the season that's going to get 7 offensive rebounds in a Division I basketball game.
No, you're absolutely right. And it is that intensity and a relentlessness that's how the Bills have to play. When they don't play that way, they're really, quite frankly, not very good. We got to be as honest as we can. But when they do play that way and make enough buckets, then they can be pretty dangerous.
You know, Bob, there's no doubt that French was the best player on the floor with 22 and 12 and 11 and 16 from the field. But I got to tell you, this Tremaine Isabel, he's like the blood and guts of this team now. If he doesn't go off there early when they're down 40 to 30 in the second half, this game's over and their season's over. It was Isabel really lifting the team for that stretch that helped to bring them back.
I don't know if I mentioned this with you yesterday. It was great. I was asking Travis recently about, what the heck is going on with Isabel? Where did this 9-game run start? I think it's 9 games now where he's averaging 21 points a game. And he told me about sitting down with Tremaine in December. He said Tremaine was really upset, couldn't figure out why he couldn't get it going. And Travis told him, you will be yourself again when February rolls around. And
wow.
Isn't that amazing? And he really has become that guy, along with the scoring. And some days he doesn't get a lot of assists, but now he's dropping no-look sort of dropping dimes, sort of no look behind him or crazy angles and putting it right in the hands of people. He's really feeling the game to the point now. You say, oh, he took 13 shots or whatever it was. Shoot more. But obviously he's got the feel for the game, and his understanding of letting the game come to him early and get everybody involved is really important.
Bob, I want to get your opinion on this. My contention is, if you have a stronger and more athletic team, it's always a better idea to press, to like impose your athleticism on them. And I think with this Billiken team, with the way they defend, especially with Thatch when he's in the game, that they are really effective in full court pressing and pressure all over. Now, granted, you have restrictions sometimes because you have limited healthy players available, but I just think they're so much better doing that. What's your take on it?
Well, you're 100% correct is my take. You're absolutely right, and I've talked to Travis about it, and I think if he would have had his full team from the beginning, we would have seen it a great deal. And you mentioned when Fred Thatch is in there, Van Maken, Billiken associate head coach, called him the player of the game last night. When he came in for DJ Foreman, it really changed things because they were able to put that pressure up top. And not so much that they, in this game, created turnovers, although in some games they do, but what they did was take Richmond out of their comfort zone, kept it out of Gilliard's hands, and then he couldn't get it to Grant Golden. And, again, you didn't create turnovers, but you completely screwed up their offense. And that's what that kind of pressure and strength can do. So I agree with you. It's just that he doesn't have the depth to be able to do it. VCU, they go 10-11 deep, and they can do that all day, and they do. But The Billikens just don't have that luxury because of depth, although Travis reiterated to me this morning that he is going to play more players, especially in the first half. So we'll see how that goes.
So it didn't kill him last night, but I go back to the Abe Lemons line that there's two things that don't last long in life: dogs that chase cars and teams that can't shoot free throws. And I'm just so concerned. There was one moment last night where Jordan Goodwin got fouled. He knew he was going to the line, and as soon as he got fouled, he got the ball and then shot like a four-footer before he was actually going to shoot the free throw to try to get some rhythm. It really is. It's just a tough situation. There's nothing Travis can do, and thank goodness Travis was smart enough to make sure Javon Best was shooting the free throws late. But yeah, you talked about it all year. Just kind of an overall evaluation of that angle.
Well, it's the worst free throw shooting team I've ever seen. That's just. But so now we know that it's a given. What do you do to try and overcome it? One thing you do is you have to deal in volume. So if the other team takes 20 free throws, you've got to take 30 or 35. And how do you do that? You can't be passive. It goes back to what the Billikens have to do offensively. You've got to attack the rim virtually every time. You've got to get to the free throw line. Because if you don't, and you're 5 for 15 or 8 for 15, the other team's shooting, 15 for 20, you probably can't win that way. Or most nights you cannot. So they've got to deal in volume, and the poor free throw shooting goes to what they need to do as a strength, and that is attack the rim.
All right, so it's Dayton tonight.
Yeah.
A team that's had a terrific season. They're 21 and 10. Your take, what has to happen this evening, and how good is Dayton?
Dayton's very good. They can win the league. They can win the tournament. There's no doubt about it. Travis told me today they have the most talent in their top six guys. They have the most talent of anybody in the league. They, like the Billikens, they are not deep. The Billikens played their best game of the year, in my opinion, against Dayton at Chaffetz Arena in January. And they were competitive at Dayton. But Travis said Dayton, the difference was the Billikens dominated physically at home, and Dayton elevated their physical play to match the Billikens. And their offensive talent won out in the end at Dayton. So the Billikens have to be who they are. They've got to assert themselves physically. They've got to attack the rim. They've got to keep Hassan French out of foul trouble. That's a tough thing to do both, play physically and stay out of foul trouble. So that is the tightrope they have to walk tonight.
Final thought. They got to that magical number of 20, first time they've been there in about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
If the season ends tonight, Bob, if they get eliminated tonight, is the season over? Are you hearing any conversation about a postseason tournament for the Billikens?
You know, I'm not, Frank. I think it's probably 50-50. We're talking about probably like the CBI or the CBE. And then it comes down to, along with other considerations, financial considerations. And that is something that Athletic Director Chris May and Travis Ford will have to talk about, should that be the case. I think it's 50-50. And I'm not trying to do a hedge on the Frank Cusimano show. Everybody knows you can't do that. I just think that there are considerations that might prevent it. You know, I want to keep playing as long as you can play. I think if this was a younger team that maybe it would be more of a slam dunk that you go ahead and do it. But with four seniors and one of them, Javon Best, really banged up, you know, you got to start to look at value and what you get back for it. So that's just my opinion. I haven't specifically talked to anyone about it yet.
Good stuff. You were brought to us today by
Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. 11 branches in St. Louis, and each and every one of them feels like your own special neighborhood bank. I was just on the phone with lending pro Carol Hofer on my home equity product from Royal Banks of Missouri. It has been fantastic, just like all the folks at Royal Banks of Missouri. If it's time for you to look at maybe projects for your home, Let the work you put into your home work for you now. Call Carol Hofer, 314-212-1500, and she'll get you started on a home equity credit line. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Bob, terrific stuff. I know you want to be with your family, but I hope you're not on a flight back from Brooklyn until Monday morning.
You're the best, Frank, and you have it exactly right, buddy. And we'll see what happens tonight. This would be a game, if the Bills win it, they could get on a run.
Bob Ramsey joining us from Brooklyn. We'll take a short time out. We are broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's. Before we go to break, quick word about the Gatesworth, finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma, grandpa, there's only one place to go, the Gatesworth. The food, the activities, the facility, it's just spectacular. The Gatesworth. We'll be right back.